Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Life Made to Order, broadcasting live right here in the Phoenix Business Radio X studios in Tempe, Arizona. We are your hosts. I'm Wesley Henriksen.
And I am Trudy Kaiser with Life Made to Order Financial Phoenix. Life Made to Order is a way of life. It's a belief that each one of us has the power to orchestrate our ideal experiences in life, particularly in business and finances.
Our show will air live each month and focus on local entrepreneurs that have used this philosophy to grow their businesses and be successful.
You know, we're going to start out each show each month sharing our own life made to order moments. So hopefully out there, our listening audience and our guest in the studio can also get a good idea of what life made to order is all about. Wes, would you like to start with your life made to order moment?
Well, we were pleased to say we sponsored a 10th hole at the Arizona Country Club for breast cancer. We met a lot of really nice people, and they graciously all showed up and gave their time for a really great cause.
Oh, it was a great cause. We had so much fun. I think I froze my butt off, though. Thank God we did have a heater at the hole, right, Wes?
I think all the golfers were happy we had
a heater
as well.
They did. Every time they came up, they came in and visited us. It was a pink ribbon event. I think they raised about $60,000. So it was a great cause, and that was a wonderful life made to order moment for last month. Wes, do you want to tell us about one of our sponsors today?
We'd like to thank our sponsors, Mr. Devin Ellsworth with VIP Mortgages and Team Referral Network Phoenix. If you're thinking about financing a new home or refinancing your current home, Devin Ellsworth with VIP Mortgage offers programs and products to fit your unique financial situation. Offering top-notch customer service, fast closes, and experience, Devin and his team will work with you to make your dreams come true. Even if you're just thinking about home financing or refinancing, set up a time to talk to Devin so you can know what your options are and call today. Call today at 480-452-5308. That's VIP Mortgage. NMLS numbers 145502 and 1504692. They're an equal housing lender.
And our other sponsor is Team Referral Network, and it's where we are passionate about networking and connecting you with the right professionals to grow your business. Team Referral Network was created in 2002 out of Laverne, California. That first chapter has grown to hundreds of chapters across the Western United States with plans to expand nationally and internationally. Team Referral Network includes weekly meetings with your chapter, training programs, business development, and most importantly, quality business relationships. We are expanding here in the Phoenix area, so come check us out and feel the team difference. Visit teamreferralnetwork.com to learn more.
We have some special guests today, and one is Kelly Durham, owner and managing attorney at K. Durham Law, PLLC, and Elisa Mongaluzzi with Mongaluzzi Consulting. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
It's so awesome to have you guys in the studio with us. So why don't we start out by having each of you share a little bit about what you do professionally and who you serve. Elisa, would you like to start?
Sure. I've spent the last 30 years in the early childhood and social service fields. And recently, I've been able to take a journey in figuring out what the next step I want to take in that path is. And what I landed on, very lucky for me, unfortunate for the community, is what is known as the preschool to prison pipeline, which we are seeing young children being expelled from preschool programs. That unfortunately, that expulsion is falling them into the K-12 system. And if you've heard of the school to prison pipeline, unfortunately, we are seeing children enter into the criminal justice system at very early ages, especially children from low incomes, especially boys, and especially boys of color, specifically African-American boys. So what I really want to do is focus on community and neighborhoods and how we can solve problems community-based.
What a wonderful thing to do. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for being here today and sharing that. It almost brings tears to my eyes to hear that that is what you're so passionate about. How about you, Kelly?
I am a personal injury attorney, and I have the opportunity to advocate for people every day against these billion-dollar insurance companies who do not have these people's interests in heart when they're dealing with them. So unfortunately, a lot of times when I get my clients, it's after they've tried to deal with these situations on their own, thinking, oh, well, I was injured. It wasn't my fault. It's clearly this other person's fault. These insurance companies are going to do what's right and pay me what's reasonable. It doesn't happen that way. And then I have to jump in and create a miracle. And normally they have much better settlements once I get involved.
So we could call you Kelly Durham, the miracle creator then, huh?
I think we could say that.
I think we could say that. That's fantastic.
Kelly, why did you get into this particular type of law?
Ever since I was little, I just really wanted to help people and advocate for people. And I fell into this area after doing other types of law, because this area, I felt like I was doing the most good. I felt in this area, people did not, they didn't have anything to do with what harmed them. And they really need the help against these billion-dollar companies, because these billion-dollar companies have bottomless pockets. They have money to throw at it, and it's the little guy against Goliath.
Exactly.
Speaking of the little guy against Goliath, Miss Elisa,
yes.
Could you be more specific about this pipeline that you talk about, this prison to pipeline pipe? There's an actual, like, I just see in my head this pipeline of these kids that are just filling up fatherless children. And tell us more about that.
What happens is that we're looking at what is known as some children have what is known as adverse childhood experiences. And we see that in adulthood, it manifests in adulthood with some pretty poor outcomes if you have a high, what is known as a high ACE score. However, what we're seeing is with generational poverty, unfortunately, which is my focus area, and it's not just children of poverty, but that's my focus area, is that we are seeing less and less resources going for young children, and we're seeing more and more children who have had trauma in their lives. And instead of understanding that the behavior you're seeing, it's not, you know, they're not misbehaving to misbehave, or they're not, you know, acting out to act out and be violent. It's really that they have suffered traumas in their lives. And poverty being the number one trauma, you know, along with, you know, child abuse. But I'm really focused on the poverty, things that we can alleviate together as a community. So what we're seeing, unfortunately, is young children are being expelled from their preschool, but we don't have data on it. So, or we have very, you know, not as good data as we need to have. So what I really wanted do, though, is I know it exists. And what I want to do is not just look at how can we support child care programs, but I want to look at stepping back and how do we support communities. I always believe that people have their own answers for their problems. I believe in the resiliency of people and communities. And I want to be whatever that conduit is. And I don't know exactly what that is yet, to be able to help people remove barriers to solve their own problems and move forward as a community or as a family.
So what I hear here is basically you truly stepping in and helping them to change this life made to order that they're ordering up, right? And, you know, we talk about that all the time in at Life Made to Order, as well as it's that year, those ages from 0 to 7, right? They're programmed with that stuff that happens. And then they take that into their adulthood and it's not working anymore, right? And so being able to help that, wow, what a powerful, powerful mission that you have. I'm so excited. So can you tell me, you expressed to us that you grew up in Tucson.
Yes,
right?
I did.
And you also said, and I'm just going to get a little playful here. You played theater in your living room with your sister. Tell us what that was like.
Okay, so I love Tucson. I'm going to say that out loud first. But growing up in Tucson, it was rather boring. And my sister and I were born in New York, and we came from a large Italian family. And we have very large personalities on both sides of the family. And so we were bored and we had to do something. And so my poor father's asleep. My mother's at work. So we would rearrange her house for her. And she's listening. Hi, Mom. We would rearrange the house. We would put on musicals. We'd put on plays. We'd get every stuffed animal out and or we would dance too as well. We have choreographed music. And, you know, lucky for me, we had a very rich, artful, childhood, my father loved music. He was born in 1927, so he loved all the big bands and Frank Sinatra and all, you know, Count Basie and Joe Williams. And so we were able to have this really rich music. And so we just, it was that or sit around flopping around bored. So that's what we did.
Well,
and,
moving from New York, I can imagine that Tucson would be a little boring.
Yes, I love Tucson, though. I have to say that to all my Tucson friends. I love Tucson. But as a child, no, boring.
Kelly, we understand you participate in quite a few charitable organizations. Can you tell us about those? And maybe is it fair for me to ask you, do you have a favorite?
I do participate in quite a few charitable organizations, and that's like asking a parent who's your favorite child. So I cannot do that. However, I can talk about a couple of my favorite. I like all of them for different reasons and in different ways. But two that I am probably most involved in right this moment are the Phoenix Zoo and A New Leaf. So A Phoenix Zoo, I've just always been passionate about animals and conservation. So when I was afforded the opportunity to become part of the wildest club in town through the Phoenix Zoo, I jumped at that opportunity. And I'm currently the president of the wildest club in town. It is a professional networking organization that also fundraises and volunteers their services for the Phoenix Zoo to try and get out the information about the zoo and all the conservation work that it does locally as well as globally. It's quite amazing the work that the Phoenix Zoo actually does locally and globally. A New Leaf, completely different charity, not focused on animals, but focused on people.
They have to equal time.
Yes. So I love A New Leaf. I am actually part of a program that they offer called She Leads. I'm currently an advisor in that program. And that program is actually designed for women across all different areas of work. And it's developed to provide them leadership skills and confidence so that they can continue to grow within their jobs as well as within the community, take those leadership positions. And honestly, when you get women in leadership positions, I mean, the world is just going to change. It's going to be amazing.
It'll fly. So. Sorry, Wes.
Well, between being an attorney and your charitable organizations, well, you're a busy lady.
I am, but I love it. Everything that I do is something that I'm completely passionate about, so I make time for it, and it doesn't drain me. It actually invigorates me to be part of all of these things.
That's so awesome. Invigorates you. Doesn't drain you, but invigorates you and takes up pretty much probably all of your time.
It does.
Well,
but
we appreciate you coming in today then. You're a busy lady. So Lisa, can you tell us a little bit more about Mongoluzzi Consulting?
Sure. So really, I've had a job since I was 10. I started my own business. I was a babysitter for the neighborhood. And I've always been either volunteering, working, going to school, whatever it was. And I was just graduated for my master's degree. And I decided that I really wanted to put my name on something and make it more official. So I ended up creating Mongoluzzi Consulting. And my last name means a lot to me. There's a lot of responsibility putting your name onto something like that, especially with my last name and my family, the responsibility that I have there. So really what I have done is I have taken, it's been the conduit for me to be able to dream and create when there wasn't necessarily the opportunity to dream and create in other arenas. And so it's given me the opportunity to literally teach at the college level, be able to work and create a intergenerational roundtable in South Phoenix. Do things like being able to work with others to create coaching cadres. And right now what I'm doing is I am a fellow in Leading for Change. And my platform is obviously the preschool to prison pipeline and how we break that. So I've got that opportunity to be able to really look at policy work and then decide whether or not where the road diverges and where I go.
Did you say coaching cadres?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
So it was with Maricopa County Head Start, and we created just a coach training there. And we were hoping to I was hoping to leverage it and make it bigger so we could have more communities of practices of coaches. And it was just an opportunity that we got to create it. So.
Is it coaching as per sports or coaching in life coaching? Or
no, it would be coaching in coaching in social services.
Okay, gotcha.
So yes.
So that's it takes on a little bit different term.
Right. Career okay. / life coaching.
Got
kind
it.
Of thing,
got
yes.
it. Okay. Because when I hear coaching, I always think mm-hmm. of, you know, sitting mm-hmm. down and coaching someone about my business or mm-hmm. how to improve their business. But that's really mm-hmm. cool. I didn't know that social services offered that type of thing. Is
yes.
that still going on now?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Awesome. Yes. Coaching is incredibly important in social services, especially with young children. Okay. So absolutely.
I love it. So how young do they start with that coaching service?
So the coaching is for the adults.
Okay.
So it's to help adults process and coach and what you would just do with your coaching, your professional mm-hmm. coaching, it's a professional coach for teachers and for people who support families.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So mm-hmm. then they can pass that on to them mm-hmm. and create the
yep.
ripple.
And they're sharpening their skills mm-hmm. and they're getting the support they need while sharpening their skills. And that's how I look at coaching.
Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. Very cool.
Well, Kelly, we've heard through the grapevine that you love sharks. Now, these are not loan sharks. These are the types with fins and really sharp teeth. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, you heard correctly. I do love sharks, and they are the animal that lives in the ocean. I have always loved sharks ever since I was small, old enough to say sharks, which actually was not sharks. It was socks when I could
oh.
say it. I always just knew I wanted to have something to do with sharks. I originally thought I wanted to be a marine biologist, specializing in shark research, of course.
Oh, that would have been perfect.
Right. So, but my life trajectory changed, became an attorney, but that affords me the opportunity to do all the different things that I love. So I've actually gone cage diving with great white sharks. And,
OMG.
Right. A couple mm-hmm. different times. I went to South Africa and went cage diving. And I also most recently just went to Guadalupe Island, which is about 150 miles off of Baja.
Oh.
And they're completely different places.
I thought you were going to say they were completely different sharks.
Well, they're the same great white sharks that I was cage diving with.
Do they have different personalities?
They have different personalities, 100%. So the great whites that I was diving with in South Africa were in predatory mode. So
oh.
they were constantly breaching out of the water for seals. So they were coming out of the water all
oh,
the way.
Wow, I bet that was a sight to see.
It was absolutely amazing.
You've got more guts than I have.
Wow.
I don't know about guts. I'm not sure about that. but the ones in Guadalupe Island, completely different personalities. They weren't there in the predatory nature. It was crystal clear water there, and they would just come up and look at you, and they weren't breaching the water. So it was just
so
really...
So they were nice sharks then.
I wouldn't...
A little bit calmer.
I would say they're calmer. I would not have gotten out of the cage because they are ambush predators. So
yeah.
if you're not looking at them, you might have a problem.
Yeah, especially if you look like dinner and they're hungry.
So, yeah, I think they're always hungry.
Yeah. When did you start diving?
I actually started diving in 99. Mm-hmm. And that's because I had a trip planned to go backpacking in Australia. And I knew I wanted to go diving with the sharks in Australia because as far as I knew, that's where the big sharks
that's
were.
That's where the big sharks were. The big
so,
guys.
Yes. And I was like, I'm doing this.
And how often do you go?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I try to go a few times a year. Sometimes you don't see sharks, but most of the time it's to see sharks specifically.
Have you ever been out of the cage?
I have, definitely. So wow. when I went to Australia and then the Caribbean and Hawaii, those are all just free diving. I'm not in a cage. So because I'm not specifically looking for great white sharks when I'm going diving there.
Gotcha.
So depending on the type of shark I'm going to go see will determine what safety procedures.
What type of cage I will be in at that point, right?
Yeah.
So hammerhead sharks, you probably wouldn't be in a cage. They're not going to eat you, right?
They're probably not, but most of the time they're pretty deep. So in schools.
Okay. So tons of them then.
I would love to see a school of hammerhead shark. That is on my bucket list.
Mm. Now, where do you go to see those?
Actually, there is a place called Socorro Island, I guess.
Mm.
And you can see schools of hammerhead sharks. You can see the large manta rays and whale sharks. All three of those happen to be on my bucket list.
Oh, wow.
So I may be having a trip out to that island
I'm going to need sooner than later a larger suitcase so I can go with. Not that I would go in the water. I remember the very first time I ever went to the Bahamas. My friends all dove, and I was like, no, what are you doing? I'm not diving with sharks. What is, that's crazy. And I remember sitting on the boat all by my lonesome, looking down there, and they were down there with all those sharks. And then I saw the video afterwards, and I was like, because they were throwing out chum to them to go, and there was no cage. Yep. They didn't have a cage.
Do you do your own photography, or do you have a photographer that goes with you?
Oh, I do my own photography. Mm-hmm. However, quite a few of my trips, my good friend's mom goes with me, and she's a photographer.
Oh, nice.
So she has given me quite a few wonderful photos, and they are around my house.
It's pretty cool. If you ever go to Kelly's office, which I'm sure some of you will, she has some of the coolest pictures of sharks in her office, as well as some glass pieces that are really beautiful as well. So you could definitely tell she's a shark enthusiast, which is awesome. It's awesome. They're beautiful creatures. They're kind of scary, but they're beautiful creatures. So Alisa, our Life Made to Order show here is all about being able to create that life made to order and and have some things happen, maybe synchronicities in your life, and things move forward that are just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. Thank you, universe. That's I'm always saying, thank you, universe. More of that, please. Can I have more of that? So can you tell us how you've used the philosophy of life made to order in the past year, and how do the next 5 years look to you?
Well, about a year ago now, I stepped into the truth of realizing that the future I wanted to create for myself was not happening. I made a decision, and then the very next day after I made that decision, I walked into what is known as the Arizona Town Hall at the at Arizona State University downtown. And where they held it was at the Westward Ho, where it happens to be where the ASU Child Wellbeing Center happens to be. And I walked right by it, and I'm like, okay, I know that I want to be working on issues of preschool to prison pipeline. I know that this is something that I really need to be doing. I'm going to the town hall on criminal justice. So I was like, I have to stop in later. And they were having their, they were just going to have their inaugural at the well-being, Child Wellbeing Center. They were having their inaugural conference on children of incarcerated parents and how to support children.
How convenient.
It was. It really was. And so what I realized was all of a sudden, I just felt as if everything unfolded in front of me. Hmm. Literally, I felt like walls just came down.
Wow.
And it was literally less than 24 hours after I made a major life decision. So I have been using your tools, your bougie and things like that. I've been able to take this time to be able to be very intentional, go out and meet the people that I need to talk to. You know, just I'm trying to decide whether or not this is this a nonprofit? Is this a PhD? Is this, you know, is this something totally different? Is it just what I'm going to be doing as, you know, volunteer? I don't know what that is yet. But the excitement about that, though, is what I live in is the possibility of what can I possibly do?
That's so awesome.
And I've met so many people in the community, and every person I tell them what I want to do with community, they're like, yes, we love that. So I've had a lot of really positive experience. And in the next 5 years, it's really, so my policy work right now is about how are we supporting low-income working parents to make sure that they have the services they need while they're able to also get raises. Because once you hit a certain level in your take-home pay, you no longer qualify for services.
Yep.
But that level does not allow you to pay for those services.
Exactly. And it doesn't allow you to live comfortably either.
Right, right. And so one of my goals is policy-wide, is seeing what can be done and start kind of peeling away at the onion to be able to say that we need to support low-income working families to be able to ensure that they have the services that they need, and so they can move themselves up and out and their children move with them because if parents do well, children tend to do well
that's
too.
That's true. So I'm going to ask you a little off-the-cuff question. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry this wasn't on your list. If I could wave a magic wand, just magically connect you to the person or entity or thing that would move you to that next level, what do you think that would be?
Oh, my goodness. I would say that what we would need to be able to do is really have a conversation at the legislature and governor level okay. to be able to really say and look, we just need to make some changes here. And we're not, you know, the message is that we're not rewarding people for doing the wrong thing. And I don't want to get into mm-hmm. that. That's a third rail.
That's another show.
But what I want to be able to say is that there are people who really are trying and working very hard. And mm-hmm. I've met these people. Yeah. I see their faces as I'm talking to you. And what I want to be able to see is how do we support families as they're supporting children?
Yeah.
We throw around, you know, you spend, you know, a dollar today and you save $7, you know, we talk about that in money, $7 in 20 years, you know, the return on investment. But I can't ever put a dollar amount to a child succeeding and a family succeeding and being able to make, you know, their life made to order.
Well, it's their future. It's our yes. future, too, of this mm-hmm. country as well. And mm-hmm. You said when you first started your conversation that you stepped into your truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what made you realize that? What was it about that one moment that made you realize that?
I would say this is that a lot of them are sitting around in this room right now. I was able to meet with people who had that energy of service, but also the energy of that service is a passion in their life. Mm-hmm. And they're doing really well at that passion. And it is something that energizes them at all times. And while it is their employment, it is their vocation and avocation at the same time. And what I was doing was just my job, or I was trying to do something more. Mm-hmm. But that's what I decided is to kind of move on from that. And how do I do that? And I wasn't having any success until I met and opened my mind up to different people like Karen Nowicki mm-hmm. over here and you ladies and Wes. And you gave me, you know, that. I just needed kind of that buoyancy to kind of, you know, that little, not push, I want to say, but that little kind of lift up.
Mm.
And then literally my life just kind of went with it.
I have to tell you, you know, we met Alisa at an event that Karen Nowicki had hosted at her radio show over in another location besides here. And it was pretty amazing. And we have made so many wonderful connections. And I hope you have too, mm-hmm. because that's what it was all about
yes.
that day, was being able to learn a little bit about some mindset of money, mindset mm-hmm. that really creates a life made to order. And then what can you do to move that forward? And then I'll tell you, it was a life made to order moment mm-hmm. for us that day mm-hmm. too, because seeing that light bulb go on above people's heads mm-hmm. is really, really what gets me going,
yes.
right? That's what floats my boat. And mm-hmm. being able to have them call me in a couple of weeks and say, oh my God, that day was amazing because you made me realize this,
mm-hmm.
da, 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just really thankful that you came here to share your story with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's really awesome. What about you, Kelly? What was your life made to order philosophy, and how have you used that to what goals have you accomplished?
Well, I have to say, meeting you guys through Wine, Women, and Wealth and Money 101 was absolutely amazing. So I really do appreciate that. And if anybody has not been to one of those, I do suggest you attend because you learn a lot about yourself. How you view money, all of these other really intrinsic ideas. You really need to learn about yourself in order to make changes with how you do things and how you view things and how other people view you and see you. And I think that for me, one of the things that I learned and changed was really when I grew up, money was something that we didn't have. And to me, it was always, oh, I need to strive and get more money. I need to get more money. When am I going to get the next amount of money so that I'm good for the rest of my life? Well, I quit thinking that way.
Good.
And now I know it will come. And I am one of those people that I enjoy giving to charitable organizations. I like helping people. So the more I can give to people and I can see that it's helping other people, the more joy I get out of it. I feel good about it. And again, that invigorates me. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, me helping other people see that and I get a return just by being part of it.
How do the next 5 years look for you?
I think the next 5 years look pretty amazing. I am actually getting a billboard. I actually did have a digital billboard first time ever in December, and I'm getting an actual real billboard.
As opposed to a big one.
Coming up in the next month or so. These are all things that I normally would not have done or marketed for myself because I just never saw myself as one of those
Billboard people.
How did the digital one work out for you?
It worked out pretty good. I got so many people calling and telling me that they saw it and it looked great. People that I haven't heard from in years definitely got new clients from it. But again, I would never have got these items except for they were part of a charity auction. So I get them at these charity events, right? So again, going in and helping these charities is also helping me. So that's just another example of how they help me.
It's so awesome.
But yeah, it's looking up. Got that billboard going on. I have a wonderful team that I work with. I absolutely love everybody that works for me and with me at my office. You can tell when you come to my office, they truly care about you. You're not a number, you're a person. And I limit the number of clients I take so that you get that customer service and respect that you deserve.
So tell us what your tagline is now for your billboard.
I don't know it.
You haven't got it yet.
I don't have it yet. But the people at the billboard company, I'm going to say Clear Channel, they are coming up with the tagline. So Channel, if you're listening to me, I'd like to know what my tagline is.
Before you put it up, please. Yes. So it sounds like your life made to order philosophy is going well. And it's so interesting to go into Kelly's office too, because it really does. I'll tell you, it doesn't feel like an attorney's office. First of all, it feels like a shark's office, but not an attorney's office. So there is such a homely feel, and everyone who works with Kelly really does treat you well. And they do treat you like a human, not a number, or, you know, just sit down and wait there. It'll be. And so it's really nice to have you guys on the show, and I'm excited for your next 5 years, Kelly. It's going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing journey, and I'm super excited to watch it. There was one other thing that I wanted to kind of talk about, and it came up while we were bantering back and forth a little bit, and that is I recently read this book called The Go-Giver. And what an amazing book. And, you know, I'd had it on my list for quite some time. It had been just hanging out there like, read me. And next week I'm going to an event that the gentleman that wrote the book is going to be hosting. And I started that whole with my whole life made to order, right? With giving and being able to give, right? Being able to be in a position to give. Earlier you said, Kelly, being an attorney afforded me the ability to go out and play with sharks if I wanted to, right? And that really stuck out to me, because isn't that what it's all about? Being able to afford the things that we want to do. And the same thing with you, Elisa, being able to afford those children a future as opposed to what they're going to be having, and help change their mindset along the way. And I think having that life made to order philosophy is really a huge part of that. So I really feel like being able to give to charities and give back, because every single time I do, something always comes back to me the next day. And it is just incredible, whether it be in business, or I get to meet a new member of my family that I haven't seen in a long time, or it's just been super amazing. And I know the same things have happened for Sue and Wes as well. I mean, it's incredible. They call me every day and they're like, hey, you know, we did this charity thing and now we got this going on. And it's really a truly thing. So if you haven't read that book out there, read that book. It's called The Go-Giver. And there's also Go-Giver Influencer. And I think there's a couple of more as well.
And just FYI, there is a podcast, because after you told me about it, I downloaded the podcast.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Well, that'll be fun. So just to let our listeners know out there, too, we are going to be starting on Podbean, and I'll put that out on our social media. So, ladies, I'll tell you, we loved your stories today. We loved your stories. Is there anything that you think you missed along the way that you would like to add to your mission, your cause, Elisa?
Well, what I would like to say, and I really, when I talked about Mongeluzzi Consulting, was the importance of family. And I believe it deeply because I grew up with a very rich connection to my Italian side. And now as I'm older, you know, continuing to develop my roots and wings, I'm able to get into the Ramsdale side on my mom's side. So what I would really like to say to everybody out there is that I believe in the power of families. I believe in the power of people making connections. And I believe in the power of communities and people really knowing their own truth and helping remove barriers so that this way, if there's whatever it is that could potentially be something that keeps you from doing what you want to do, that's what I feel like my goal is, you know, how do I make those connections to help people live a better life? Mm-hmm. That's really how I see myself. So I thank you for this opportunity. It's been a great conversation.
Of course.
Lisa, mm-hmm. We're kind of intrigued by what is the meaning of hashtag roots and wings?
How long do you have? Okay, so I...
About 15 minutes.
Like I said, I was very lucky to be born into a very deeply connected Italian family on my father's side. Very, very family oriented. And that really helped me establish who I am. Mm-hmm. And knowing very well that I am my father's daughter, who he was a remarkable man, and he passed away 11 years ago now, but he was 80 at the time. And he lived a remarkable life, and he was the smartest person I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And he had a 10th grade education and went to World War II. Forged his father's name on the enlistment papers went in at 16.
Oh, wow. Forged him.
Yes, forged.
Wow.
Yes, he did. So he taught me a lot about really developing the roots of who you are as a human being, mm-hmm. and that nobody can take that away from you. That's your power. Know who you are and stand in that power. And that's the only power you have, is the power within yourself. So I kind of look at it as kind of like a tree. I love trees. My new condo, thanks to your budget, when we were able to get our new
budget, by the way, is budget. Is a lovely word for budget.
Is surrounded by trees, and that's my metaphor. It's deeply grounded roots, and then the branches that lift off, or birds lift up, and there's life in those branches, and that it has to be flexible because it has to be able to bend, you know, fly and go through the wind and not break. And to me, that really is the life that I was afforded by my parents, both my mom and my dad. And the ability of, I should also say this too, for currently my boyfriend Pete and all of his support that he gives me constantly. And I can't end this conversation without mentioning the dozens of friends that I have, colleagues, friends who I've worked with in the last 30 years, who we have created some of the most dynamic work, I think, in early childhood and youth development and social services. And if not for them, I don't know that I would have as much success as I've had. So I've been very, very lucky to be able to plant firmly and know who I am and be able to fly when I need to.
Hashtag roots and wings. Mm-hmm. Look out, world. Alisa Mongaluzzi is out there. She has on a shirt today that says, "She can, she will." And it's pretty darn awesome with some pearls. And they're fantastic.
Just to let you know, my aunt is a nightclub singer, my mother's sister. And she's a Dixieland jazz singer. And her motto is, "If you can't hide it, decorate it."
Oh, fantastic. If you can't hide it, decorate it. I love it. Kelly, is there anything else you wanted to add today?
Well, I kind of wanted to go back to A New Leaf just for a moment.
No problem. Because yeah, I would love to hear
I
more.
I jumped into She Leads because that's what I'm doing right now. But A New Leaf does so many other things. They have over 30 programs across the valley. They help children. They help women. They help men. They're into foster care. They have amazing programs. And again, if A New Leaf is something that you haven't heard of, I really suggest that you take a look at them and see really how you can get involved. If you can't afford to give monetarily, give your time, volunteer. They need volunteers. They need people to get involved so that they can continue to do the really wonderful work that they do.
And if I could add to one of the most insightful and brilliant early childhood leaders is the executive director of Phoenix Day. It's a New Leaf program, yes. And her name is Karen Parker. I just had to throw that out there. So thank you for all that you do, because she is remarkable, and that program, Phoenix Day, is remarkable too.
There were some other charitable organizations that you were a part of, and some other, things that you've done, Kelly. Would you please share those with us as well? They were on your bio, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but I know you know it because you wrote it, so.
I did write it. let's see if I can remember what I wrote. I've actually been volunteering with the Fiesta Bowl since I was in high school.
What? The Fiesta Bowl?
So my grandma has been volunteering forever, and she got me volunteering with her in high school, and we did hospitality for the Fiesta Bowl.
Nice.
Back in the day, they used to have the block party for New Year's Eve. So my grandma and I did hospitality for the main stage and the band. So we got to make sure that they were happy, got everything that they wanted. And now that they don't do the block party anymore, I have now moved on to hospitality for the team players, which is really fun hanging out with those guys.
Oh my gosh.
And PlayStation has been a sponsor. So I've gotten to play a lot of video games with these guys.
Nice.
So that's been really fun. You know, there's a lot of other charitable organizations. Gabriel's Angels, I love that organization. And then Arizona Foundation for Women. I mean, there's so many great organizations out there and charities that, again, if you have a passion, you should look into what your passion is and find mm-hmm. one of those charitable organizations to get involved with.
Can you please tell us how to get in touch with A New Leaf and She Leads?
Well, let's see. You can always go to turnanewleaf.org, and okay. that is A New Leaf's website. And I don't know the phone number for Jacqueline off the top of my head, but Jacqueline Boys is my go-to person at A New Leaf. And she is actually one of the best people to get a hold of to learn about what A New Leaf does, what She Leads is, how to be a part of that.
Fantastic. We're excited to be doing some education for She Leads this coming weekend as well. We're super excited about that. And then what about the, I heard that you're part of this Wildest Club in Town. What is that all about?
Yes. So we briefly talked about that. Wildest Club in Town is a wonderful organization that's part of the zoo. Again, it's a professional networking organization. So you're with like-minded individuals. You're with people who care about animals and want to make sure that there is conservation done for these species to make sure that they don't go extinct. By being part of this organization, I have formed really, really deep bonds and friendships with people that are part of Wildest Club in Town, because we all have the same or very common interests. And by having that, that really helps to build those friendships. So I'm having lifelong friends from these organizations that I deal with.
Alisa,
yes.
Can you tell us, I hear that you're on the board for Treasures for Teachers.
Yes, I am. So when I tell you that relationships really have made the difference for me, if you have not met Barb Laylock, or if you do not know who she is, you need to know who she is, because she is probably one of the most innovative executive directors in the nonprofit world, and talk about really really making sustaining change. Treasures for Teachers is a nonprofit that basically Barb started out of her garage.
Wow.
We had met well before that. We're both early childhood people. And what Treasures for Teachers is now, it's a 12,000 square foot warehouse over in Tempe, just down the street from here. But what it does is it provides to the membership teachers free or very low cost materials for the classroom to support the children. It is all about the children. So what we do at Treasures for Teachers and being on the board is we're really expanding our mission. We are going to be expanding ourselves. We do Tea for Tea on Wheels. So we go all over Maricopa County. We would like to expand more. And the materials, I forgot to say, in the store are a lot of recycled materials from corporations in Maricopa County, too. It started with Intel.
Oh, nice.
And so we have had the support of every business, especially with the Red for Ed movement. People wanted to get involved, but they didn't necessarily want to become involved politically. And we are not a political organization. So they donated to us because they wanted wanted to make sure that there is an impact for teachers and for children in the classroom.
Awesome. That's awesome. And how long have you been on that board?
I have been on that board now 2.5 years.
Nice. And you're going to plan on being on that board in the future as well?
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, I am very dedicated to that mission.
I'll tell you, ladies, we really loved your stories today. I want to know how people can get a hold of you. So if someone out there listening has maybe some connections for Elisa so you can help her create more of her life made to order, please reach out to her at Elisa.
I am on LinkedIn and I am on Facebook. That is probably the best way to get a
hold
of me.
Can you tell us how to spell your name? I mean,
sure.
We're going to post it in our social
media.
But Mongoluzzi.
Well, I had to have it pinned inside my coat when I was younger because I didn't know how to spell it either. All right. It's Elisa is my first name, Elisa. Uh-huh. I'm named after my grandmother, my Aww. Father's mother, Mongeluzzi, Mongeluzzi.
Okay. And you're on LinkedIn and
Facebook.
Okay. Awesome. And what do you mind? Do you want to give your phone number? Or
sure. If you
that?
Want to call me, go right ahead. 480-206-5913 or Elisa Mongeluzzi, that whole name again, at gmail.com.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And what about you, Kelly? How can we get a hold of you?
I am also on Facebook. I'm also on LinkedIn. And you can call my office, 480-820-9090. Or you can visit my website, kndlegal.com.
Fantastic. We are super excited for you, ladies. I cannot wait to hear more about your life made to order in the future. So we'd like to thank you to our guests, Kelly Durham and Elisa Mongeluzzi. I've been saying it wrong this whole time. Are you kidding me?
No.
Mongeluzzi. I'm all Mongeluzzi. We'd also like to thank Karen Nowicki, president and owner of Phoenix Business Radio X right here at Max 6 Conscious Workspace for this huge opportunity. A special thanks to our sponsors, Devin Ellsworth with VIP Mortgage and Team Referral Network Phoenix.
Life Made to Order Financial Phoenix specializes in teaching folks instead of telling them what to do with their finances by hosting live workshops across the country. Virtual workshops are also available multiple times a week.
Please visit lmtophxevents.com to see which workshop can fit into your schedule.
No risks, no fees, safe retirement done with ease.
And please follow us on social media. Our Instagram is lmto_radio_phx. And on Facebook, Life Made to Order Radio Phoenix. And on Podbean in a couple of weeks, Life Made to Order Radio.